the bizarre experience one New Mexico man recently had. He went on a reality show, but it's not like the ones you may have seen on TV.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Meme Ranch. We're here today with a very special guest. We have Matter Okano in the room.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, thank you guys for having me. Thank you guys for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Yeah, awesome. We're excited to have you. And we're going to be going through a lot of stuff from the current season happening here on Fish Tank. We're going to be talking about what Mauro's been up to since last season. And just kind of like going through some of the things that you know, he's been looking at recently. He went on a pretty cool adventure with some people on his YouTube channel. So we're going to kind of take a look into all that here coming up on the show. Let's just kind of start here for a second with this clip that I saw from earlier today. This is whenever Judge Goldstriker is going around and he's trying to get people to take AIDS tests, I guess was like the challenge. Did you ever have to take anything like this when you're on the show, Mauro, just first and foremost?
No, I 14 days total, like the two times that I was there. So I didn't really get to live a lot of the hardcore challenges or anything like that.
Well, this is just crazy. I mean, the show's set in 1973, right? Mm-hmm. And like we were talking earlier about like, were there ever even AIDS tests at this time? Like,
probably not. I think they were just, you know, letting people, you know, I don't even know if they knew what AIDS was.
Well,
all right, y'all, go ahead and all right, this... AIDS test.
This was like the best part. When they go back and they're all waiting their results. And Sam was mad because somebody effed up the test, essentially.
At 11:08 p.m., Shinji's test results are concerning.
What the hell, Shinji? That's a fake line.
Right, calm.
Shinji's
got AIDS.
This is so bad.
That's so bad.
Shinji.
Oh, my gosh.
I was about to say.
Who kissed Shinji?
A lot.
Since he might have AIDS.
He's got such a calm reaction.
No.
I think, do you think this is set up, Mauro?
I don't know if it's set up, but I do think Shinji knows that he doesn't have AIDS because I heard that he's here. So before they get a visa, they have to take like all kinds of medical like stuff. So he would have known by now if he did have AIDS. Like they would have told him. And they probably would have, I don't know if they would have let him in the country, but they would have told him in the, you know, immigration stuff.
Come on in.
Yeah, no, I not to mention like those tests are like not like I've heard at least that they're not super accurate most of the time. Like you have to actually go to a real doctor.
Yeah, you have to go to a doctor. So I think that's why he's not worried. He's just like, okay, whatever.
He's like part of the challenge.
He probably knows it's a good,
that seems like a common theme. Like at some points, like day 20 is what we're on. Like we start to see contestants and they get like some like stuff dished at them and they're just like the reaction to it by this point is just like like I can take it.
Yeah, you know, I guess. And I think he's just like that. From what I've seen, he's like a very calm person. Like he just doesn't care. So I don't know. Maybe he does believe it, but he just doesn't care. I don't know.
Well, while we're still talking about this, I'm curious, like, who are you rooting for? Like, there's a few people in the house who, you know, are favorites. I feel like I don't want to say who because, you know, it's all disjointed, but is there anyone that, any two, maybe three that you are kind of like hoping will be the finalists? So
it's possible. I'm just rooting for Jimmy, honestly. All of this, you know, because I obviously could, I mean, they all did all of that, but up with all of this, you know, rooting for Jimmy, but if anyone else wins, then cool. But my hope is that Jimmy wins.
Do you like what? Okay, so we saw that last season, Josie, I'm sorry, was the winner, but essentially Letty was like kind of like everyone's
You thought Letty was going to win, Kaylin.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that she should win. I think, Mara, aren't you in Team Letty? Like, you know, it was like, I mean, you love Josie, obviously, but you thought that Letty should have been the winner, right?
Yeah, I think everyone last season deserved, like, the top four deserved the win because obviously they put up with everything, and like the four of us basically quit, you know, and the remaining four they put up with everything, and I feel like anyone was deserving of winning, but I did feel like. I mean, I'm happy for Josie and everything, but I feel like maybe Letty should have taken the grand prize because she put up with a lot of stuff. She just, I think that Letty carried the show on her back last season, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, she took a lot of shit. And like, I feel like in some ways, when you say Jimmy, that just kind of like strikes a little bit of like somehow like I don't know, like they're not the same, but in some ways like the stuff that they're putting up with is like similar, except for Jimmy I think it's like more of like a mental sort of like torture that he's having to go through with a lot of the production whole, you know, like inside psyops and stuff like that are that he believes or that are going against him. I don't know which one to say, honestly, because there's kind of a whole ball of thread there going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Letty and Jimmy are both the main source of entertainment in their season, you know, so I think they should be the winners just because, you know, me personally, I only tune into the site when I see on Twitter that there's like something crazy going on with Jimmy. You know how there's like fan pages that tweet like minute by minute, so I see like them tweeting like, oh, Jimmy, like, you know, he's having, you know, some type of shit is going down with Jimmy, and I go into it's like, oh shit, what the fuck is going on with Jimmy? So I think, you know, the main source of entertainment should be the winner, I think. Yeah,
for sure. I feel like that's maybe what's going to be, you know, what they come down to, you know, with the final two here. I don't know who's going to be in the final two, but I think that Jimmy has a shot. He hasn't quit yet. See, the thing with him is like the last 48 hours, I keep seeing things where it's like, it looks like he's quit. He's not quitting. Today it was like a challenge and he like wanted to be like with his meds, or like he wasn't allowed to get his meds or something like that. Right.
Yeah, I saw that. But I think, I mean, he'll quit a challenge, but I don't think he'll quit though. I think he's in it to win it. I don't think he'll ever like quit. I just think he needs to control like his rage. I think that's the only thing they can probably like get him out at this point, like if he doesn't control his rage, because as we've seen, he like, you know, his rage is pretty crazy sometimes.
Well, last question on this before we pivot back to some questions about more what you've been doing recently, but I wanted to know, out of everything that you've seen so far this season, you know, judging by, you know, what your breaking point was kind of last season, which we'll get into that a little later. But like, what would be the thing you think this season that may have been your breaking point if you had to be in someone's shoes this time around? Or is it one of these things where you think like I could have kept going, you know?
Definitely some of these would be my breaking point. I think that what's it been, you know, just doing the like the racist challenges, like not to be whatever, you know, but I think that I wouldn't have done them. Like I saw them do like blackface and do the, you know, ooga booga, whatever. And yeah. I wouldn't have done that, honestly, because I mean, I guess some people will do anything to win it. But me personally, I wouldn't have done that just because you have to think about your future, you know, more along the line. So I wouldn't have done that. And I would have probably left, or, you know, like they would have kicked me out.
Didn't it seem like last year, Xvala, like there were some things that would have like crossed that line of like, I don't want a future employer to see this. And it seems like somehow this season has even topped some of those things in certain ways. Like I feel like more so in like the actions and like the things that are being.
I don't know. I think going forward, all bets are off. I just don't think that we're going to use the same measuring stick now that we're going to use in the future. So, you know, enough people do this kind of stuff that you're going to look back on it as like normal.
No,
I don't
for real.
Know. I mean, maybe you will, but me personally, I would have been like, you know, I'm out. I can't, like, I just want to think.
Let me give you an example. Like, since I'm a little older than both of you, there's a lot of things that have changed since I was your age that didn't used to be the way they are now. So I'm just saying the world has a tendency to like go, you know, in a revolution every once in a while. And
everything changes.
Things are just going to end up being different in the future. And like, you're going to like worry about stuff at this point, but then later it's going to be like, wow, that's just not even like, people don't even think like that anymore. So
I agree. I mean, anything can happen in the future, but me personally, like if I was there, I would be like, you know, I don't want to take any chances. Right. I'm out. Especially because you know what? Last season when I quit, the main prize was $10,000. So I was like, is $10,000 really, you know, worth going through, you know, this and that? And now it's $50,000. So it's way more.
Yeah, the terms
so
have changed.
I don't know. Yeah.
So would you have done it for 50?
For 50? No, you know why? Because it's a slight chance that I'm going to win. It's not like, oh, you're for sure going to win if you do this. So, no.
Yeah, it's like there's like a couple of things you might want to like do before you even like get to that certain point, you know. But at the same time, it's like I think it's all in like delivery, you know. Like with Jimmy, like I think he's done the best with like being able to like put the delivery there, so that even though he gets like put in those situations like with Charleston and stuff like that, like at least it's like really funny. Like, oh my gosh, with the Charleston. All right, well, let's jump to Charleston. I have a click pulled up for that, but I promise we're gonna get into another round of what you've been doing more recently. So let's share this tab real quick. This was one of the funniest things. So basically, for those unaware, like Charleston pestering the living crap, he has been a citizen who's living in there, and he's not reacting to the TTS very well, or at least he didn't this past weekend. It's one thing I want to ask you real quick more before we watch it, like, because like, what, how do you get used to the TTS? Like, does it ever go away? Like, does it ever like just become like in the background, like a fire alarm kind of beeping, or like what?
So me personally, the first, like I knew I was going on a reality show the first time, right? So I was going to be like, I knew there was going to be TTS. So I was going to be like, there's going to be some type of hate, you know, whether you're the nicest person or the meanest person, whatever. So I thought I was ready for it. And the first time that I went, I was definitely ready for it. Like, it didn't really bother me, the insults or whatever. But the second time, when it was going like on and on, I feel like it got more to me, just because, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to get this like later on, but the second time it definitely did hit me more, because, you know, it just felt more personal. But if you go in just thinking like, oh, whatever, you know, they're going to insult me, then I don't think it'll be like, you know, that much of a problem. But when you do something in there and then it feels more personal, then, I don't know, I guess it just hits more. So
Was part of it because you were outside of the environment, and then you kind of got to look at it from an outsider's perspective for a few days, and then you came back, and did that affect the mindset that you had at that point?
No, just going in the first time, like if I was like, oh, I'm ready for insults, you know, like on the internet, I'm ready for comments. Like I didn't really think I was gonna care, and the first time I didn't really care, but then the second time it was just so much CTS going towards me. And I, you know, some actions that I did in there, I don't know if you guys are going to talk later on about it, if you guys want to talk about it, but the second time I just did something, and then so like it was constant TTS going after me and after me, like each second it would be one after another. So I was just thinking the second time, like, oh, like, am I a bad person? You know, like it just got to my head.
Why did it amp up? Why on the second time around was it so much worse?
Because I slapped someone, and apparently they were autistic. I didn't know. I mean, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. I swear to God, I did not know that like that person was autistic, and I slapped someone too hard. And I mean, obviously everyone got like upset about it, but I mean, I couldn't tell. Maybe it's just my ignorance, but I couldn't tell that that person was really autistic.
Are we allowed to play it?
Yeah, you guys can play it.
Okay. All right. Here's, it's like 47 seconds.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Maura. I didn't want to do this.
It's my cousin down here. He's like moving the phone. Moving the whole thing.
All right. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, because comparatively, like that the slaps like weren't on the slaps weren't like on like the same scale, I guess is kind of the thing.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well,
he is a big guy though. It's not like he's kind of small and delicate.
Yeah, and the thing was that it's not even to say face because like I said, I don't regret it. I said it before like a million times. I don't regret it because of all that had happened before that.
Right.
But you know, he's a big guy. I don't know if he's really autistic. People say he is. But I even asked someone from production the next day, you know, I was like, I'm not going to say anything, but I asked him like, is this person like autistic? Is there something like, you know, wrong with him? Like,
He just smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah, but people were coming, like, got mad at me because apparently he's autistic. And I mean, I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's my ignorance. I don't know.
I think people today are confusing artistic with autistic. He's just very creative.
Maybe because, like I said, maybe it's my ignorance, but all the people that I've dealt with that are like autistic, like going to school with them and everything, just, I mean, they look nothing. I mean, they didn't act anything like him. He, you know, so I don't know.
I have a couple people in my life that are on the spectrum for real. It's not like internet autism. And they're like, he can barely handle social situations even within our family. Like he'll barely come over on the holidays. And another one was somebody, but he was super smart and successful and, you know, very successful, but he was also not a very outgoing person. So I don't know. I think what passes for autism today, there's like internet autism and then there's like traditional autism. So
yeah, definitely. Especially like right now, I think that a lot of people are like, they're just pieces of shit and they're like, I'm trying to justify themselves. I'm being honest here. They're trying to
justify themselves. No, keep talking. You're so right.
I have autism. Oh, but he has autism. Is that an excuse to be a piece of shit?
I feel like it's like it's like the new, like, you know, calling someone a bigot or like you're racist or you're anti-Semitic. It's like a shield. So it's like if you're like, I'm autistic, and then it causes the person to think, it's like, wait, what I said to you had nothing to do about your autism. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I even thought about saying like, damn, maybe I'm autistic, so people wouldn't hate on me, and right. I'm able to, you know, excuse that shit that I did. But you know, I guess people are just like that nowadays. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think you're old school a little bit like us, more.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, you know, speaking of some old school people, like I want to pull up this clip of Charleston real quick, because I'm dying to watch it. So this is when they're sleeping, they're trying to sleep. It's Tae Lee and Shinji in the top two bunks, and Charleston is on the very bottom one. And man, it's like, oh my gosh, hilarious clip.
Your president, it is common knowledge that Nifty has the fattest pussy in the house.
He's talking about
you better get your ass to sleep. I'll push your sleep and I'll let you jack up your tear.
and the best part is that like they're not able to go to sleep right now because Charleston keeps laughing at the TTS, and yeah. I know that none of the contestants like react to the TTS unless it's like really really good, like because it you guys are like so jaded by it, it's by like a certain point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and also I feel like Taylor was like genuinely scared that night, like he was just fearing for her life next to Charleston, so it all made everything like a little bit more comical.
Yeah, that was, yeah, Charleston was being a little bit weird. But yeah. I don't know if he was being like told to be, I mean, he's already a character like on his own, you know, stuff.
Yeah, do you guys get coached at all?
Not me, honestly. I see a lot of people.
What do you think? Do you think some of the other people you get to see, do you think they're getting coached?
Yeah, because they do it on like I've seen clips on Twitter that they do it like on front of the cameras. So they like tell, you know, it's like the funniest thing is, right? And then they tell like this person like, oh, go do something or say something to this person, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then whoever they told that to, they go like, oh, I'm gonna say this to you or I'm gonna do this, but production told me to. So it's just like the funniest thing because everything is like production told me to. So they don't really do much on their own, I guess. Everything's mm-hmm. like production told me to. So it doesn't cause that many problems. It doesn't cause that many issues because they're like, well, you know, production told me to do it. So mm-hmm. it's like an ongoing joke right now. I don't know if you guys saw it, but a production told me to do it. And I even right. was like, oh, production told me to do it. I can't go to work tomorrow. Sorry, boss. Production told me to. It's just like I'm going joke on Twitter right now. Mm. It's like the funniest thing ever because they don't do that much on their own.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of talk about like the whole production told me to thing because it's like I don't understand too much about the whole attic because I was only like just witnessing it in like passing stance. So I don't know if there was ever like an introduction to like everything that it means and it entails, but I just know that it's where Sam goes to sort of convene with contestants and like tell them things that they're not supposed to reveal to other people, and it's kind of like this like fourth wall room. I don't know if there's anything else that you know about it that you can kind of tell us, because like I've just haven't been informed this season 100% of the way.
Honestly, I don't know what's going on down there. I haven't seen that much. Like I said, I just see Twitter clips, and I see when they take them down there, but I don't know. I guess they're supposed to gaslight them down there. I'm not sure, to be honest.
It's like the gaslighting attic or something.
Yeah, the gaslighting room, I guess. Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's kind of pivot back to New Mexico, where you're from, for a little bit, because I want to know, you've been living out there before and after you were on Fish Tank. So tell us a little bit about you know, what it's been like. I know that you do archery. I know that you do like a lot of outdoors stuff. So like tell us a little bit about how that's like, and we can get into this video here in a second that you made going to a haunted church.
Okay, can I just take like a minute break? I need to use the restroom real quick.
Oh yeah, go ahead. What's it like living in where you're at? Do you get to go out in the country and, you know, explore and see cool things?
So where I'm from, it's like a very small town, right? It's like I'm surrounded by like a lot of mountains, and I love nature. So what I do is like I go and shoot with the bow and arrow like in the middle of the mountains. I go to the, like in the summer, I go to the lake. We go to swim, you know, cookouts in the lake. But yeah, just basically the small town country life, I guess, like fishing, just like all that country life.
Trout fishing, right?
Uh-huh, yeah, and archery, just all kinds of cool stuff that you couldn't really do in the city, I guess. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all that. And my life has been normal after fishing. I've seen a couple of these fishes be like, oh, I'm never going to be able to get a job because of the words or shit they said on there. And I'm like, your life's probably going to be normal back in your town. I just,
you know,
hope somebody...
It was funny to me that local news covered you being on Fish Tank.
Yeah. I was on the...
Were you the only one that got local news coverage? I think...
Yeah, I was the only one. what was it?
How did that happen? Did the news people hit you up and say, tell us about this whole show?
Yeah, I guess just, I think the reporter that hit me up or something was like a fan of Sam Hyde to begin with. So he just thought it was interesting that someone from New Mexico was on the show. Mm-hmm. So he hit me up like on some, like, I think it was LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And he sent me a message there, and he was like, oh, I'm a reporter, you know, like I want to do an interview if you can do it in person. But I live like 2 hours away and I couldn't do it in person, so we did it through Zoom. But it still came out like on all the like TVs, you know, like on all New Mexico. So that was pretty cool. And I like saw it when it came out. It was pretty nice.
What did you think of that when that happened, that you're actually getting like traditional media cover you?
I was just like, wow, am I famous?
People are so famous. No.
No, I was just like, wow, I'm famous. And I told him, and my family was like shook, you know, because I was like, I'm going, like, I'm on the, they, a lot of them have like seen that channel, like see that channel like regularly, you know. So they were like, I was like, I'm going on that channel, you know, I'm going on there. And they were just like excited. They're like, what? And I was like that too. I didn't know that it had like that much impact.
It does. People still think if something happens and you tell them it happened and they're like, no, they won't believe it because they didn't see it on the news. It's still, exactly.
Like a lot of, just people who don't really keep up with the internet, just, you know, I guess it's just like a crazy thing to be on the news.
Do you keep up with the internet more now after being on Fish Tank?
Yeah, I guess now like on Twitter, because I didn't really use Twitter. I didn't really have social media like before Fish Tank. That's also like one thing, like I was very private with my life. Like the only social media that I really had was Facebook, and I only had like 46 friends on there. All that I knew in real life that I had met before, that I had talked to. So, you know, it was definitely a big change.
What was it? was going to Rhode Island, was that like a big, was that like the furthest east you'd ever been?
East?
Or had you gone to like New York before or something?
I think the furthest I'd been down there was Washington, D.C.
Oh, Washington, D.C.? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, so I mean, it's crazy too, because it's like, I live here, and for a couple, you know, like the first year, I was like, it felt like I was in the north, but then I realized like how much further south I am, like, and it still kind of feels like the south in some ways. Like, it feels like that kind of like dividing line, you know, between the two areas. So
aren't you only 2 hours away from New York?
I'm like a 3 hour train ride from New York.
Okay.
So, but it's still so
close.
It's close, but it definitely feels like it's a division. Like, some people are like, Washington, D.C. is like proper north. It's like, it feels kind of like the south. Like, after you've been here for a couple years, you start to like see things and you're just like, oh, wow, this feels like it's still considered like the south, even though
probably
it's
because
like,
you're next to Virginia.
Right. Exactly. Virginia really makes it feel that way.
Right.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's the furthest I've been, Washington, D.C. And another thing that, that I guess I have to say, like, the Fish Tank kind of brought to me was traveling in planes, because I had never in my life traveled in plane before Fish Tank, just because I was scared. Honestly, like, I was really scared of heights, and like, I had never traveled in plane just because I was scared. Like I went to Washington, D.C., but I traveled from New Mexico to Washington, D.C. in car. Like, I've been to, you know, Las Vegas, L.A., everything in car, because I was scared of traveling through plane, but I didn't really have an option this time, because I was like, either I take a bus and it takes like 40 plus hours to Rhode Island, or, you know, with the stops and everything from the bus, or I take a plane and it takes 6 to 7 hours. So I was like, you know, I just had to make a decision, and I did it. But before that, I had never been on a plane.
You saw that plane just get a wall section sucked off, right?
Yeah, I did. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm so happy that was
I'm so happy you guys brought it up, because I have the clip.
That's some crazy shit.
Yeah, that's... You guys see it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine being in there?
No, and imagine being your first time traveling on plane, and that shit just happens. I would have probably died. Like,
you mean first and last time?
Oh my god, man! Imagine how cold that is.
Just imagine how scary that is. That's insane.
Yeah, like, I have to say, like, I wasn't that scared to fly recently until I was on a plane that hit some birds. Xvala knows the story, so I won't go through the whole thing. But it was freaky, and it's like, there was a New York Times story that was talking about recently how there's a lot more near misses with planes, and that those two planes just collided in Japan. And like, it's making me more and more afraid to go on a plane. Like, I've never been scared before, but I kind of feel like people don't have their stuff together.
There's more stuff in the air now than ever.
Yeah, probably. There's just
crazy.
A lot of shit going on right now.
It's almost like there's a Fish Tank experiment with the airline travel. You know,
maybe they're filming something up there.
would you ever go on like a Fish Tank style reality show that was like a political version of it?
What do you mean?
Like, so it's like basically you have to like choose like a political side, and like you're like kind of it's still like split the same number, so it's like even, and it's like you're like in a house of like people.
You're,
like,
you're responding to like news reports, and then you're debating with your house members. Like some people are say, let's just say it's like the election's coming up and there's two candidates. So half the house is for one candidate, or maybe a third of the house is for one candidate, another third's for the other, and then the middle third is undecided. And so basically you're every day you're arguing over, you're trying to win over the middle people, maybe. We were talking about like what would make an interesting reality show if it ran into like the world of politics. And this is just an idea we had. We thought it would be kind of like, it would definitely get eyeballs watching.
Yeah, no, I definitely would. Me personally, not for free. Not for free, honestly. If they paid, then I could argue with the wall, honestly. So yeah, I mean, if they paid, then I would go. But like me being interested like to like a political stuff, not really. Just because I don't really follow like politics and stuff like that. But
would that be your advice for anyone going on a show like Fish Tank?
What?
Don't go on unless you're going to get money.
No. Just because Fish Tank, like, I mean, if it's your first time on, like, you can, you know, you can gain a lot of followers, and then those followers can, you know, convert to money, but, you know, you selling stuff or whatever. But not like, if you want to go on Fish Tank on a show like Fish Tank, do it just for the exposure. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, like the political thing, then personally me, I would need to get paid because I don't really know much about politics, but I could make an argument probably.
Yeah, yeah, you just grip the whole time.
I think it would be funny to have people who don't know, you know, they're basically they're kind of responding to the news. They're not necessarily like people who know anything. Like that's society. Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you know, like write an essay about, you know, what you saw on the news and then you can argue about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's simple. It's just, it's like a complete reflection of what happens in reality.
Yeah.
In a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, maybe. Yeah, what if I could get paid? But
right.
If for okay. free, I probably wouldn't be interested.
Well, I wanted to go through this clip. This is you visiting a haunted church. And I thought it was really interesting. This was like on the drive over there. What kind of made you want to like go and explore this church, and what was kind of like the information that you knew about it, or like what I guess like what brought you here, so to speak. Oh, are you there?
You want me to talk about it now or after the video?
Yeah. Going.
Do a voiceover for us.
Do a voiceover.
Okay, so the voiceover is I was just the reason why I was going through to this place is because obviously I wanted to create a video. But this place, I've been told by a lot of people there's like a lot of haunted shit going on there. There's like voices, there's like things that people see. And in this area, like you have to travel like 30 minutes through dirt road to get to this like supposed haunted church. So, you know, it's just like a very creepy, scary situation going here because you have to go in a 4x4 car through these dirt roads, because if not, you'll probably get stuck and just freaking, there's no cell phone signal here either. So you really have to be careful and you really have to be, you know, just aware of these situations because it can be dangerous, I guess.
Yeah, especially it's like loose rock, and you know it's dark, so you got to watch your step and everything. But no, it looks pretty cool. It reminds me of like, you know, going and exploring like out I don't know, like in like Santa Fe or something. That's where I've been.
Yeah, like a very remote area. And also the thing that I was scared here, I didn't really show that much in the video of it because I just wanted to like get done with it and go. But what I was really scared of in this video was not like the supposed ghosts or anything like that, but people had told me that in this area there was like mountain lions and supposedly bears, because it's like,
oh, wow.
There's no lights there at all. So the only lights there that were gonna be us, like my car and the flashlights. So I was just thinking the whole time that we were there, it was like, we're gonna be the only lights here. So if there is mountain lions, like bears, you know, like obviously they're gonna see us because there's no other lights. So I was just like nervous.
Now, what's the structure that we just walked into? We can turn on the volume, but let's just keep the voice over.
It's a church. So that it's like a little church. We weren't able to get in it because it was locked, or there was something that we could. I mean, we just couldn't get into it. And yeah, just the whole time I was just nervous because of the mountain lions and the bears, because, you know, like I said, we were the only lights there. So if they were going to see us if there was mountain lions or bears. So that was like my only worry, not really the ghost, but ghosts, if there was any. I don't know. But yeah, that was my main worry there.
So if you guys saw like a skinwalker or something, were you going to run off and leave your friends? Just leave them there?
Leave them there? No. Yeah. I would have.
Are you sure?
We would have fought. I mean, either way, like I would not have left any of them there. But
the slowest guy dies. That's what I always say.
He stays there. He dies. He stays there. You know, they fought him. He stays there. But no, I wouldn't have left any of them there. We would have.
If you were with season one crew, and you had to leave one person.
The autistic guy.
This is getting into my next section because it's called Honest Hours or something like that.
Yeah.
So this is leading into the next section. Let's start light. If it had to be someone from S1 who, and like they had to get left behind, who would it be? Just hypothetically.
Are you talking about fish or like freeload or everything? Freeloaders and everything.
Okay, you were a freeloader, so we can include freeloaders.
Well, I was a fish and a freeloader.
Yeah, okay.
But okay, so who would I leave behind? Mm-hmm. I would leave John, Daniel, Frank, Airsoft Fatty,
it's a lot.
Simmons.
All the guys first.
Yeah, I think those five I would leave behind. I would just leave them there. I would run away. But they would stay there.
Do you think you'd be one of the first ones left behind for the other people?
Would I be one of the first ones to be left
behind? Yeah, would be like, Morrow's out of here. We're leaving him for the mountain lion.
Yeah, for a lot of people on that show. I think, yeah, for most of them. Yeah. And them too. I would leave them too.
See, I feel like I liked your honesty throughout the whole show, because I feel like you're the only one who is like really like telling people like how it is. Everyone else is kind of like leaning into the characters and stuff like that. And I don't know, like I can think of an archetype for almost every single person, but like it seemed like you were just kind of like your authentic self the whole time. And like maybe that was, you know, to the detriment, maybe like because they definitely want you to like fill into like a character, because they want to have a role for you as things progress and things like that, right?
Yeah, I guess the situation maybe, but I was also playing. I mean, I'm a very honest person, I am, but I definitely played into being more blunt on the show, just because I think that the role that I gave myself was like to create some drama, honestly. And even though a lot of the things weren't seen on the first time I was there, like on the main episodes, I think that I created a lot of drama, and that was like my thing, because, you know, I am a reality show fan, so I think that a reality show needs to have drama. If not, it's not a good reality show. And I kind of gave myself that role to, like, you know, if I saw something that I didn't like I'm gonna say it, and if it became like into an argument, then cool, because it's a reality.
Slapping Airsoft, your attempt at creating some drama, or is that just sort of like something that's going to happen on a show like that? I mean, drama's going to happen no matter what.
I think that it will happen. It depends who the people are, because there's a lot of people on there who just will live through the whole show without even like caring about what anybody else says. But with Airsoft Fatty, I think that I'm gonna be honest here, you know, I already got a lot of the hate, so I still do, but I did want to slap him hard. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, because it's a show, and I knew it was a show, but the things with him, like they did get me upset. because in the episodes, I don't know if you guys saw the episodes, but they didn't put everything in there. The reason why our beef started was because out of nowhere, he like made up a rumor that I was going around smelling like all of the girls' panties in the house. Mm-hmm.
And that I was I remember this now, because it was happening around the same time as Simmons. So it like, right? Wasn't it like around the same time as Simmons' whole thing?
Or was it like that was like the second time that I went, because I was there for 9 days. I was there for 9 days the first time, and I was off for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then when I came back, he was there, saw Fatty, and he just like started this rumor out of nowhere that I was like a creep smelling.
Do you think the production made him do it?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but at that moment I was like, there was a lot of confrontations that I didn't show in the episodes, and I confronted him right away, and then his bag stolen. So this is what happened. They showed this in the episodes that his bag was stolen. I stole it. I hid it. I hid it. I didn't want anything in his bag, but I hid it. But what happened was his bag was lost one of the times, and he like accused everyone of stealing it. Mm-hmm. And he accused me too, and nobody had stolen it. It was under the fucking couch, and he had left it there. So, you know, it was a situation where we're like, what the fuck? You just put your bag under the couch, and you're blaming everyone else. And then there was a second time where someone like stole his bag or something, and then he accused me of doing it. So I was like, I didn't do it that time either. And he was just like going off on me, calling me a bunch of names. And, you know, so when he found his bag the second time, I was like, okay, fuck you, bitch. Like, I'm gonna steal your bag this time. So I stole his bag.
You already got accused. Why not?
Huh?
You already got accused for it, so why not? Yeah.
So he had accused me like 2 times. He had accused everyone, but the second time he accused me especially. So I was like, okay, bitch, now I'm gonna steal your bag for reals. So I hid his bag like under the laundry or whatever, and then you know, that's where the episode started on episode 8, I think, where I just messed with him.
God. Yeah, no, I think that's funny, like the just the difference in time. And whenever you walked back in and you saw everyone again for the first time after leaving, did it feel like everyone had kind of changed a little bit, like, or did it feel like they were the same people, or did some things feel slightly different? Because it's like, obviously everything that you left behind on the day that you left, like, things just naturally ramp up from there, and it's like you're kind of dealing with like more seasoned contestants now.
Than before. Me personally, it didn't really feel different, because the only people that I've ever like fucked with up till now are the four, like the fish that were there that I had like met beforehand, which is Letty, Sylvia, Vance, and Josie. They all felt the same, you know, and I went in there just, we were friends basically at this point, and I just was there happy to see them. They were really happy to see me. And there was really no drama with them. I did mess with them a little bit because I was a freeloader and that was like kind of my job. But nothing really changed. We were already friends. We just had more fun. I got to get to know Josie and Vance a little bit more. The first time I didn't really connect with them that much, but the second time there, I was like, I got to them a lot more and they got to know me a lot more. So it just became like a closer connection, I think, with them. And then with Airsoft Fatty, I mean, I hadn't met him before. That was the first time. And it was just a disappointing time.
Tell me what it's like to meet somebody in person. I've done this, but for you, because you're of the internet age, you're a young guy, and you're millennial, I guess, or you're close to it. What's it like to meet somebody who's basically an internet icon like Airsoft Fatty? I mean, you probably, whether or not you knew him before, I'm just saying, like, when you're in the presence of somebody like that, what's it like?
I didn't know him before that. I mean, I had seen him, some clips of the show, obviously, right? Because I was watching the show because my friends were there.
I'm not saying you should have known him, or that doesn't change it for me. Just like, what's it like when you meet a person and you don't know anything about him?
Meeting him was just like,
does he have a presence?
No, he didn't have a presence for me, because I was like, what's up with this bitch? Because he would, like, when I got there, I said hi to everyone. Everyone was really happy to meet me, to have me back, Sylvia, everyone. They were just, like, really happy to see me, and I was happy to see them. And then he was just laying in the couch. He was awake, and I went to say like hi or whatever, and he was just kind of like, you know, like not. He didn't really give a fuck, and he wasn't really nice either. So I was just like, mm-hmm. fuck you, bitch. Just kidding, but no, I don't care. Like he didn't care, and I didn't care. It was just
like there was no like there was no trace of this guy's like got a following or like
he's was he stinky?
Oh god, yeah, was he stinky?
I'm so bad at like remembering smells. Honestly, like people tell me like, how did the house smell? I don't remember, to be honest. Like I don't pay attention to things like that. But I'm assuming he was because, I mean, he grabbed his own shit at one point and like, holding his hand on camera. I don't know.
the whole stripper.
No, how he
reached. Oh yeah, that one too. Yeah. So I'm assuming he was. God.
Forgot about that. Know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was asked this by a friend. He was really wanting to know, like, I know you've probably said it a million times, but can you put yourself back into that situation whenever Simmons the allegations were revealed that he made that creepy camp counselor book? Like what was going through your head? Because I want to kind of get to the core of, like, you know, that feeling, because a lot of people, you know, from the other side, they were thinking like, oh, like, get over it. It's like just a, you know, like who cares if it's his problem, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it was probably an issue because you've just been sleeping in the same room with this guy, you know, for like however many, you know, days that had been at that point. But like, really, like, tell us what it was like to know that information. And do you think it's, I mean, is it true? Like, has anyone heard from this guy? Like, you know what I mean?
Wait, can I have another minute? I drink a lot of water.
Need to go to the restroom. Yeah. You can think about it. No, I was just looking to see, like, after I asked the question, has anyone heard from Simmons? I started looking him up online because I just wanted to know if like, he had made like any posts. Like, yeah.
So, what the Simmons situation was? It was like, obviously when he was outed as a pedophile, but
let's say P, so we can edit it out.
Allegedly, he's a P, but. you know, the moment that like Sam came in and he did like the whole thing there, I was like, oh, like I believe that he was right. And I had been sleeping next to this guy for like 9 days. He was like a friend of mine at that point because, you know, we spent so much time together and we were sleeping right next to each other. So I was just disgusted. I felt like what? Like this motherfucker's been like a alleged pee and I've been sleeping next to him. So I was like, a lot of people say like, oh, you left because you're hiding something. Like if I was hiding something, this fan base would have found it by now because they find everything. They find everything like three days into the show. They found like a bunch of people's shit and they're still looking for something of me, but there's nothing to find.
You wouldn't be doing this interview right now. You wouldn't be doing.
I wouldn't have gone the second time back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just felt like disgusted by that whole situation. And I, you know what I also felt that moment? I was like, okay, I thought that the production had done like a background check of everyone, which now I know that like they probably couldn't have found that out because, you know, he's not like a convicted pedophile or anything, but they probably couldn't find that out. But at the moment I was like, oh, well, if they didn't find out that he's like an alleged pedophile, then what are all these people, you know, that I'm sleeping next to, that I'm with in this house? Like, are they like potential killers? Like, you know, I was just thinking to myself that I was like, are these people like potential killers? Like they didn't background check or anything. So I was just like, you know what? It's $10,000. I'm not going to risk it for that. So I'm going to dip. That was that.
And so did you go to anywhere after that or did you just fly straight back home?
No, I just went back to a hotel and then I was there for like 2 days, just kind of taking everything in and then I went back home.
I'm wondering, you know, is there ever like any other type of, you know, show that you would do essentially that, you know, would fulfill or, you know, top in your view, what Fish Tank was like? I guess the question is a little bit, you know, no matter where you can go from here, like say you got on like Big Brother next time or something, you know, like do you feel like Fish Tank will always be like the most like special kind of like thing in your, you know, kind of like
especially season one
TV reality career?
Yeah, I think that Fish Tank will always be special to me, and I'm always going to be grateful for, you know, Jed and Sam and everyone giving me the opportunity to like do it, you know, because I never really, it was one of my dreams to be in a reality show because I've always been a reality show lover. So them giving me the opportunity to be in one, not only once, but two times, it was like, I'm really grateful for it, and I'm always going to be grateful for it and everything that it taught me. So I think it will always be the most special one just because it's something, it was something that I never really thought that I could do. And then I, you know, it came to my life and I did it. So, you know, I'm always going to, I think it's always going to be the most special one, I think.
And what are some things that you're going to be doing this year? I know that, you know, we talked about your YouTube channel. We can get that kind of coming up on our programming here in a second. But tell us a little bit, you know, about what you want to do this year. You know, how are you going to, you know, keep living in the online sphere, I guess, you know, or you know, any plans that aren't online, you know, that'd be cool to know that too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I'm just going to try to make content online. I'm going to try to better my content quality as well, because right now every YouTube video that I've done has been recorded on my phone. Like the audio is obviously from my phone. The editing is on my phone. So I'm going to try and, I mean, I'm going to buy new equipment here soon and hopefully try to just up the quality. And yeah, I guess for online, that's just like what I'm going to do. Just try to upload more and up the quality on YouTube, TikTok, and all of that.
Yo, why did you wait so long to come on with this, man? I know Kaylin was hitting you up for quite a while early on, and we thought you were trying to blow us off.
It's not no. Yeah, the first time I got out of Fish Tank, you messaged me, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, just because the first time I didn't know if I was allowed to talk about it because, mm-hmm. like, I went on some podcast, and then I heard that Jet said something like that we weren't allowed to do anything without their permission. So I was just kind of like, I don't know. And I told you to ask Sam, right? I don't know if he ever got back to you or if you asked him, but
no, I did reach out to Sam, but it was like through like a bootleg email. It had like a 50-50 shot of getting to him.
Yeah.
This is you're not trying to like get with him or like, this is our own thing. So it's not even, I we don't want to involve him really.
No. But the thing was that it was, I couldn't talk, supposedly I couldn't talk about Fish Tank at the time. So, you know, Fish Tank is like
sure.
His or him is in Jet. So that was the thing with me. It was like, I didn't know if I could do it.
We couldn't tell if you were just a diva or, you know, what. We didn't know what it was.
No, I can be. Just kidding. but no. I, none of that. No, it was just that I didn't know if I could talk about it or how much I could talk about it, especially mm-hmm. at the beginning.
Who is your favorite person on production? Because we've had a couple people. Well, for example, our last guest was Alex, who did some stuff for Fish Tank. He did the trailer for season two. Be Nice to Me Productions. Did you ever get a chance to meet him, or did you get a chance to meet Scott Sullivan? Those are a couple guys that we had on the channel previously.
Shout out, guys! By the way,
huh? Yeah, they're really cool. Yeah, I met Scott, but really talked to him that much on the show just because like he was doing like the whole training stuff and I wasn't really doing that mm-hmm. at the time, like training. And then I did meet Alex, but he was like really busy. I met him at the World Peace shoot. So he mm-hmm. was like really busy, you know, directing and just doing all that type of stuff, and I was just there, so I didn't really talk to him that much, but I did meet all of them. They're really cool, all of them. Everyone in production, Jet, but I had to pick the my favorite ones. I would say Jet and Ben, 100%.
Who's the one contestant from last year that you maybe you can choose for your later too? Because you know we got Ty, who isn't he's in his stand up career, but who do you think is going to be like kind of like the Timberlake? of like the Fish Tank crew, like who could you see, or who's already there, you know, you know, like perhaps like, you know, like what is it going to be, the thing that, you know, they'll be in next and everyone will like be like, that's the guy from Fish Tank, but it'll be like something that's like crazy, you know, big. Like who could you see doing that?
Honestly, probably Josie. I feel like Josie could be one of the main ones who really just explores outside of this community and just blows up somewhere besides this community. I think she'll do it.
Yeah, she's got a lot of stuff really going for her, and she's got a awesome Twitch stream that she does. She does a lot of production right now for the current season. She's got her work cut out for her. Well, Mauro, please tell us, is what's something that you'd love to plug? We have your channel out here, but anything else that you want people to be keeping eyes on? Anything like Insta, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, just follow me everywhere if you want, or if not, don't. But all my social media is the same: Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. It's the same name, so just follow me on all of them if you want.
Mauro Cano, the one and only. Thank you so much for coming on the Meme Ranch. It was a blast to have you on.
Thanks, dude.
You're an awesome guest. Did you come on sometime for like a group chat? It'd be cool to get some, you know, past and like future, you know, people that are coming on the ranch, you know, to like get into like a big discussion, because we'd love to, you know, keep hanging out with our people that have come on before and kind of, you know, build a community here, just to kind of, you know, have an ongoing conversation of familiar faces that are, you know, not always, you know, 100% on the same interest, but we can always like kind of find like some commonalities. That's why we that's why we do this show. And you know, it was really great to kind of, you know, get to know more about you, Mauro, and you know, we look forward to seeing what's going to happen next this year, because it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for inviting me and having me. I really enjoyed being on. And yeah, I mean, if you guys invite me to a group chat, I don't know where it's at, but if you guys invite me, then I'll definitely join. Thank you guys.
All right.
All right.
Well, take it easy, everyone, and see you here again on the Meme Ranch soon.
Bye.
Later.